That's actually my preference. Goeiemôre almal. Brothers and sisters, I want to share something from my heart. You know, we as a family went through a difficult and a sad time. I lost my dad last week, Thursday. And, you know, on Wednesday during the funeral, I told people, you know what? It felt actually for me as if my dad is standing next to me. You know, my dad had a way of standing next to you with his hand on my shoulder. So it feels for me as if my dad is standing next to me with his hand on my shoulder. And you know, dear friends, I want to plead with you. If there's one lesson that I learned from the passing of my dad, it's the following. If you have a dad, if you have a mom that's alive, lovingly spend quality time with them. You know why I'm saying this? Because if you do that, that is the memories that you will cherish in your heart forever. And you know, I just want to say a special thank you, Pastor Tiny, Sue that's missing in action, and everybody from the congregation, everybody that helped us, everybody that supported us, everybody that prayed for us. You know, in so many ways, I just want to tell you, and this is important to note, it is a privilege to be part of this fellowship. And friends, I want to ask you, commit yourselves to this body of believers. You know, it's funny, that's something that's lacking nowadays, ne? But I want to plead with you, because you know what? When we commit ourselves, there's always a blessing that's coming our way. Shortly before my dad was admitted to hospital, I had a wonderful opportunity to speak with my dad, my mom, and my sister. And basically, I could speak to my dad about the good news. And I spoke to him about the most wonderful, sovereign, and gracious invitation that was made by the most wonderful person. And you know, friends, I want to tell you, never be ashamed to speak to your loved ones, to your family about Christ. Never be ashamed. I want to say, if you are ashamed, it is because you don't know Christ as your Savior, firstly. And secondly, it's because you know what happens with us. When there's secret sin in our hearts, we are ashamed. But I want to encourage you, friends, share the good news with your family and loved ones. You know, I can't express my gratitude for the Lord for giving me this opportunity for the last time to speak to my dad plainly and openly about God's eternal and life-changing truths. And you know what? Something about my dad that I'm really grateful for. My dad never turned me away. My dad was always open and receptive to listen to God's word. And Lord willing, I would like to share this same exact message that I shared with my dad with you during this morning. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, your heart's desire, the longing of your heart, is that we would respond to your Son's loving and gracious invitation, come to me. The prayer of my heart in this morning is that your name would be glorified, that your kingdom would enter every heart, that your perfect will would be done. And I plead with you, Lord, won't you graciously intervene? Open our hearts to your word and your spirit. Please, Lord, may Christ be exalted, and may the Holy Spirit visit each one of us in this morning. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Friends, I want you to go to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading Matthew chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And the topic of my sermon this morning is the gracious and sovereign invitation that's meant for each one of us this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, just some background, some context. The Gospel of Matthew is focusing on one very important fact, and that is to show, first and foremost to the Jews, but also to us, that Jesus Christ is the promised and long-awaited Messiah. And as the Son of David, He fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. You know, Jesus came to this world, this broken, sinful, confused, upside-down world, with one goal in mind. Jesus came to this world with one goal in mind, and that is to die on the cross for this man's sins and for your sins. To die in my stead and in your stead. And you know what? He received the judgment that was actually meant for me and for you. And that's why when you read Matthew chapter 27, we hear the following words. Jesus is saying the following. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you know, the wonderful reality is, Jesus rose again from the dead as a testimony that God accepted His perfect substitutionary sacrifice. He rose again. And now, friends, He is alive. And He reigns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we may proclaim in His name two wonderful realities. Firstly, the forgiveness of sins. And secondly, new life in Christ. You know, actually, the essence of the Bible is all about this perfect and amazing rescue plan of God that was completely fulfilled in Christ. That's a mouthful. This is the message of the Bible. The Bible is all about God's amazing rescue plan. And the question comes to mind, how is this possible? It's possible because Jesus Christ is completely God and He's completely man. And you know, the wonderful thing about Christ is He is the spotless and unblemished Lamb that gave His life as a ransom. You know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, I'm always amazed, in John chapter 1, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he say? Yes, what did he say? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now friends, that's good news. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you know, my question to you, as I spoke with my dad, I'm speaking with you this morning. My question is, can you testify that Jesus is your Savior? Can you testify that Jesus has done a wonderful work of redemption in your heart? That you've received newness of life? That's the reason why we have the Lord's Supper. Because we are reminded of God's great sacrificial love. So, basically, I have only two sermon points, Pastor Tiny. Sorry, it's only 2 points. Apologies, Pastor Mark. I only have 2 sermon points. Mark will critique me afterwards, I know. Amen, brother, okay. The first point is, when we read this portion in Matthew chapter 11, I want to speak about the prayer of Jesus, firstly. Secondly, I would like to speak about the invitation of Jesus. You know, before inviting us to come to Him, we hear the Lord Jesus praying, thanking His Heavenly Father. And this is an interesting prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." You know, brothers and sisters, the wonderful reality is Jesus Christ knows that God is sovereign. Jesus Christ knows that God is absolutely in control of this universe and your and my eternal destiny. You know, it was it was heart-wrenching for me, heart-wrenching to see my dad slipping away. It's a heart-wrenching experience to see my dad slipping away. It was heart-wrenching to see my dad weak and struggling. But you know what, brothers and sisters? God was lovingly in control every moment in his life. You know, if you read Romans chapter 11, I'm just reading Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it states the following: "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen." Friends, God knows your heart. So important to tell you this. God knows your heart. He knows your struggles. He knows your besetting sins. He knows your trials and your temptations. You know, I want you to quickly go with me to Psalm. Let's quickly go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I just want to read the first 4 verses. God knows our hearts. Psalm 139. Verse 1. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Friends, God lovingly cares for His people. And the prayer of my heart is that our hearts may be open and receptive. Now we see in this portion of Scripture, we see two groups of people. The first group is the wise and intelligent. The second group is the infants. And you know, even today, friends, in this world that we live in, we only have two groups of people. Only two groups of people. I want to emphasize this. We have people that is dead in their sins and trespasses. That's the first group. Secondly, we have people that have received newness of life through Christ. I just want to read for us Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. I'm reading. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him. Friends, only two groups of people. Even in this morning, even you sitting in front of me, there's two groups here. People that belong to self and Satan, and people that belongs to God because you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. You know, so the question comes to mind, who was this wise and intelligent people that Christ spoke about? Christ is speaking about the Jews, the Jewish leaders of His day. He's speaking about the Jewish leaders of His day. You know, I want you quickly to go with me to Matthew chapter 23. I'm giving us exercise. Matthew chapter 23. I want us to go to verse 27. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Two groups of people. The first group, the wise and intelligent, that is the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Friends, know this for certain. God hates hypocrisy. He hates it when we talk the talk, but we never walk the walk. He hates it. And now you see this Jewish leaders, wise, intelligent in their own eyes, prideful, full of self-righteousness, boasting in the good works, boasting in the fact that they've kept the law. You know, religion for them was all about externals. Externals. My dress code. Going to the temple. Public prayers. Fasting. And I can't even pronounce that word, Pastor Tiny. How do you pronounce that? When you give money? Sorry. See, I'm Afrikaans, my first language. Apologies. Religion is all about externals. You know, and for the Pharisees, they were blind for their own sin. But they were never blind for the sins of the people around them. And you know what, friends? The shocking reality is the following. Here is the shocking reality. The Lord Jesus and God kept the good news of salvation in Christ alone from them. This is a shocking reality. God kept the good news of salvation through Christ alone, from the wise and intelligent. But the wonderful reality is, he never kept it from infants. If you read that portion, whose infants? It is the followers of Christ. People that are willing to acknowledge. You know what? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, listening to me. This is the ones to whom God revealed the wonderful good news. People that know that they are like infants. I'm spiritual bankrupt. I know it. Maybe you're sitting here and you know I'm spiritually bankrupt. You're sitting here and you know I am lost. I am a slave to my sin. Maybe you're sitting here and you can tell me, you know what, Herman? I'm utterly incapable of saving myself. You know, when we read Luke chapter 18, I'm quickly going to read it. You can follow Luke chapter 18. I think it's verse 10. When you read Luke chapter 18, you see these two groupings. You see the wise and intelligent, and you see the infants. Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. You know, he was wise and intelligent in his own eyes. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, prayed. He was not even willing to lift his eyes up to heaven. He was standing like this. He was beating his breast. He was praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, there's the tax collector, open, humble, receptive, like an infant. I tell the people on Wednesday, Esther, but Esther is arguing with me. Esther is saying, it's not me, it's Clara. But you know what? When Esther was very small, when I tell the story, Esther came afterwards and said, Dad, you've got it wrong. It is actually Clara. But Esther, I still say it's you. When Esther was small, she was sometimes naughty. To be honest with you, all my children is actually naughty, not only Esther. Not in equal measures, but anyways, Esther was naughty. So what did I have to do? I had to give her tender, loving care. You know what that means. I'm not going to elaborate. And then afterwards, Esther came to me and said, you know what, Dad? Thank you for that. That was a wonderful hiding. Friends, can you see the heart of an infant? Oh, that we may be infants. Open, receptive, honest, humble. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God resists the proud. Friends, God resists the proud, but He reveals His Son in the hearts of the humble. Always remember this. You know what? God loves sinners who knows how desperately they need Him. Right. I want to close with the second point, the invitation of Jesus. I want to close with that. Verse 28. Jesus says the following precious words. What does He say? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, Jesus is inviting all of us to come. Everyone, come to me. He's inviting us. And the question comes to mind, have you responded? I want to plead with you. Have you responded to His invitation, come to me? If you have not, please, don't go. Speak to us. You know what? When God revealed His Son in this sinner's heart, in my heart, and when I heard that invitation, you know what happened? I desperately called on Christ to save me. Because, friends, because the Holy Spirit convicted me that there is a huge abyss, a gulf between a hell-bound sinner and the indescribable holy God. This is the reality of today. There is a huge abyss, a gulf between hell-bound people that's living without Christ and the indescribable holy God. And I knew that Christ alone could appease the wrath of God. So I called upon Him. Lord, please save me. And you know what? He lovingly responded. Is that not good news? A wonderful reality. But interesting enough, everybody is invited, but who responds? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is inviting everybody, but who responds? Who responds to His call? The weary and heavy laden. Friends, are we honest enough in this morning? You know, what I love about children, children, when they are young, very young, they don't have any pretensions. But we as adults, it's amazing. Whew, we've got so many pretense. But I'm asking you, are we honest enough to admit in this morning, this man or you, I'm heavy, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden. Are we honest enough to admit that? Are we honest to admit, I'm a Christian, I confess I'm a Christian, but deep down I know my heart still belongs to myself. Are you honest to admit that, dear friends? I'm sitting here, but I'm ashamed of my pet sins, my secret sins, because I'm hiding it away. I'm sitting here, but I'm struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. I'm sitting here, I confess I'm a Christian, but in reality I love the world. I love the power. I love the position. I love the prestige. I love the prosperity. You know, friends, the prayer of my heart is that nobody sitting in front of me may be wise and intelligent in his or her own eyes. Listen to 1 Peter 5 verse 6. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, a wonderful verse. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. And then lastly, that wonderful closing words of the Lord Jesus. And I will give you rest. Friends, the Lord Jesus will give rest to the humble, to the weary, and to the heavy laden. And you know, eternal rest is given to those who responds openly, honestly. Listen to His invitation. Friends, listen to His invitation. This message I'm sharing with you is meant for Christians and for the unsaved. Listen to Him. Come to me, all who are tired and heavy laden, and maybe you respond by committing our hearts and lives to Christ alone. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I want to worship You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, this wonderful, sovereign, and gracious invitation. Come to me, all who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Lord, I pray that You may open our hearts, that Your words may be alive, life-changing and powerful through the redeeming work of the Holy Spirit, and that we also would come to You and would commit ourselves to You so that You may do that wonderful work of redemption in our hearts and receive eternal rest, forgiveness, salvation and new life in Christ alone. Amen.